This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This producer came in and he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I really want to direct theater. He said, well, why are you doing this? I said, because I don't know. It's what I ended up doing. He said, I'm working on a film at Warner Brothers. Why don't you come over and why don't you become a PA? I said, well, what is that?
Okay.
Girl, I sold that nursing agency and I drove on the lot with my Armani suit and my black Porsche and my Newport. And I went in there and I was a PA girl, okay? Danny Strong came to me. He said, Lee, I have another film idea and it's called Empire. But Whitney Cummings had already told me that the next thing you do, because I told her, I said, I don't got no money for my kids to go to college. And she said, well, then you need to do television because, Lee, I got a check for $750,000 in the mail. And I thought it was like a one-time thing. That thing kept coming.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Vivica Fox, and welcome to an all-new Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. We're going bigger and bolder. Your hustle's going to get an upgrade with the most surprising, exciting, and fabulous guests from all walks of life. You're in good hands, darlings. Okay, y'all. Today, my heart is so full because I am basically talking to, like, my entertainment brother, a good friend who I am so, so very proud of. Darlings, if you have an unstoppable force in one hand and never been done in the other hand, what do you have? Lee Daniels, of course, my man. The first African-American to be nominated for a Directors Guild Award. To this date, the only African-American producer of an Oscar-winning and Oscar-nominated film. He produced the film that resulted in the first African-American woman winning a Best Actress Oscar. He's a box office champ, and he's won more critical acclaim than most people read about. He survived terrible childhood abuse, trauma, and personal loss growing up in Philadelphia. He managed to rise above his circumstances and use his experiences to help create some of the most powerful media ever made, and has helped countless people to attain their dreams. He continues to inspire me and many others to stay true to himself and his vision. Please welcome to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, Academy Award nominated filmmaker, director, producer, screenwriter, and my friend, my heart, Mr. Lee Daniels. Welcome to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, Lee.
Vivi!
Sweetie, how are you?
I'm so happy to be here with you. Oh. I'm just so happy to be here with you. As I said, the only reason why I'm here is so I can catch up and have fun with you, because it's been too long for us not
really
to have been. We shouldn't be spend this kind of time apart.
You're right. It's true. But guess what? You've been busy and so have I. But you know what? My relationship with you reminds me of like my relationship with Regina King. I cannot receive Regina for a couple of years because we both making it do what it do. And mm-hmm. It's like nut time hasn't passed. We still kiki. We still laugh. We still throw each other back. Girl, you never like you. But before we came on air, y'all, he was up here showing me an old picture of me. It's a video of me in doing the Starlet with me and Faye Dunaway, of all people. Oh my gosh.
It is a gag. It is so good, but it's so good and so profound because you guys are taking it very serious.
Yes.
And you're
cutting them to shreds, okay? And let me tell you something. Doing The Starlet was definitely an amazing experience to me. It was a show where we gave young actresses an opportunity to win a contract in Hollywood. But back to you.
Yes.
I want to take everyone on your journey, you know, because there's some things that when I was briefed about that I didn't even know about you, and I've known you for a very long time, and I love you so much. Let's let everybody know where you're from.
I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from born and raised in West Philadelphia. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. But yours doesn't equal like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air type of journey, right?
But you know what I think? My sister went to school with him, with Will. We didn't even know that. My sister, who's a casting director, Leah, you know Leah.
Uh-huh.
She went to school with Will. and went to Bieber and to Gomper, Bieber and to Overbrook High with him.
I love it. See, now that's 6 degrees of separation because Leah just directed her first video and I was in it with her.
Really?
Yes, baby. For with the new artist that she has coming out. And I played a sexy Nurse Ratched.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, we're just all like 6 degrees of separation connected.
Yep.
But one of the things that I didn't know about you was that you are a survivor of childhood abuse.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that with us?
It's crazy. You know, it's taken me such a while for me to forgive my dad. Mm. You know, I don't think that he was just a kid having kids.
Yes.
He was 18 when he had me.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And so, you know, look, he was a boxer. He sparred with Muhammad Ali. He was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard when he came to Philadelphia. He was 6'3". He was a cop killed in the line of duty when I was a young kid. But he didn't understand that I was different. And he didn't understand that it's hard to even talk about. And you know, and I think that he beat me. he beat me just for the sake of beating me.
And oh my gosh.
Because he knew that it was going to, you know what he said? He said, it's hard enough being a black man. Why do you have to be a faggot on top of all of that? It's going to be so hard for you. And so I think he thought he was beating the gay out of me, but I don't know. But look, what it did was it created a space for me to disappear in and to imagine. Mm. And that's really when my imagination started running wild and I got the first inkling of wanting to be a filmmaker. Mm. I didn't know what filmmaking was at all. I didn't know. All I knew was that I went to a public theater, a public library.
Yes.
And I walked into the library and God took me into the theater arts aisle, the one little aisle there, and I picked up Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, a play by Edward Albee.
Okay.
I read it at seven years old, Viv. And I took it home and I had all my neighbors and my family on the stoop reading George and Martha and everything. But I understood the sophistication of character. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I got the bug. And the rest is history. 7 years old.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So how did you navigate to escape that abuse? You think that by the arts that helped you to say, you know, there's more to life than this. This isn't going to make me or break me.
Yeah. Well, he died when I was 12. He was killed.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He was killed in the line of duty. But he told me that, you know, he said, if I ever catch you with a boy, I will kill you. And I believed I believed it with all my soul that he would. I never you know, not until deep into college in my 20s did I even think about, you know, sleeping with a man. And yeah.
But did you know that you were gay?
No, I didn't know. That's the whole thing.
Like, I don't know what these feelings are.
You know what I'm thinking? I said, did it make me gay? I don't know. You know?
You're like, maybe you beat the gay into me. Okay?
I know.
Right.
Well, I'm talking to Mike Tyson now doing his life story.
Oh, I love Mike Tyson.
Ain't he fun? But I'm like, you know, the reason why I'm really doing this is because every Christmas, my dad would give me boxing gloves. He greased my face up, and I would throw the boxing gloves down and grab my sister's Barbie, and he would beat me every Christmas for as long as I could, five Christmases in a row. And yeah.
Well, you were a defiant little spirit, though, because you knew that ass whooping was coming, but you was like, I'm still going to pick up this Barbie. Now what? Okay.
Especially when they, hey, Viv, especially when they came out with the black Barbie, I gagged.
Okay. Right. He was like, yes. This bitch is pretty. She's my color. Okay. So.
But yeah. And so I'm doing that movie, his story, just because I have an aversion. I've never put on a pair of boxing gloves to box because of that.
Yes.
You know, so I'm doing it for me.
I love that. So now, when did you leave Philadelphia and then come to L.A.?
I left Philadelphia to go to college, 2 years into college in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
And, but I knew then that
college wasn't for you?
I was sleeping with this girl, right?
Oh, you had sexual experience? Oh, her name,
yes. I was sleeping with this girl and she told me, she said, you know, Lee, you're gay. I go, huh?
Oh, my goodness. She said, baby, okay, let me just keep it real deal Holyfield here. This ain't for you.
I thought I thought my shit was tight, okay? and so she said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be I want to direct movies. Mm. And so she said, well, there wasn't anything that I was learning there at that liberal arts college. So I left and I got on a bus with $70.
Mm.
And I was homeless in Hollywood for a little bit, which was great because I at the time when you're 22, people think homeless, like, you know, but it wasn't really a big deal. It was exciting, you know, at the time, not knowing how dangerous you are. You know, we don't realize how fragile life is at 22. Do you know what I mean?
Agreed. I used to, trust me, we all kind of moved here around the same time. Honey, I'm lucky I survived the 80s. I ain't going to even lie. When I look back, I was like, ooh, child. Try that now. Okay.
I mean, it's really, so, but yeah, I had a nursing agency.
Okay.
And that's a long story, but I got a job as a receptionist. I opened the LA Times and there was a reception. I knew I had a good voice. And I went to sell nurses. I went to sell nurses. If your mother got sick, if your father got sick, and they didn't want to go into the hospital and they wanted to like recuperate at home or as opposed to going into a nursing home.
Yes.
I was selling nurses and RNs, LVNs, home health aides. And I was living in the back of a church at the time. In Inglewood. And I was also directing theater. I just gotten the bug of directing. There was Pastor Vic said, if you clean the place, he caught me in the back sleeping there. And he said, if you clean up, I'll let you act in some theater here. You know, I'll let you stay, you know, you clean up the place, you know, in the back, you stay in the back.
Yeah.
And inevitably I started directing with one acts, little tiny one acts. And so I was doing that and simultaneously working as a receptionist at the nursing agency.
Multitasking early. Okay.
Right. At 22. And as a year into it, I became the manager of it because I was so good at selling the nurses that I then became the manager of this nursing agency. And then a year after that, I said, look, I can do this on my own. So I literally started working from my home. I had an apartment by then. And I was selling nurses to nurses to people that were calling in. And it was crazy, Vivica, because how we got the business were from Black women that were social workers at Cedars-Sinai and at Century City Hospital, Santa Monica, Brotman Memorial, all around Los Angeles. And so I would befriend these social workers, and I ended up with like 100 nurses working for me. I made a lot of money. And it was at the height of the AIDS epidemic, and nobody wanted to work with AIDS patients, but my girls would. And
I love that.
Did they make a lot of money?
Did they know you were gay?
No one really knew I was gay. I was sort of in the closet about it because I thought it was important to, my father had ingrained in me that it was the devil's work. And so I really believed that it was not a good thing
to share
for me to
others.
Be public about it.
Yes.
And anyway, so I made a lot of money, and then this producer came into my, and I was still directing theater. And this producer came into, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know he was a producer, but we were taking a white guy, Graham Cottle, and he produced Prince's new film.
Which one, Purple Rain?
Purple Rain and Under the Cherry Moon.
And so he
came in and he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I really want to direct theater. He said, well, why are you at a nurse? First of all, he was shocked that this Black man smoking a Newport cigarette with his feet up on the desk was taking care of his dying mother. Okay.
Okay.
So once he got over that shock and that I was Black, because he just couldn't understand how this kid basically was taking care of them. And he said, what do you want to do? And I told him I wanted to direct. And he was like, why are you doing this? I said, because I don't know. It's what I ended up doing. And he said, I'm working on a film at Warner Brothers. Why don't you come over? And I said, okay. And why don't you become a PA? I said, well, what is that?
Okay.
Girl, I sold that nursing agency.
Mm.
All of my nurses, I sold that. I can't even tell you how much money I made. It was a lot.
And
I drove on the lot with my Armani suit and my Black Porsche and my Newport and the Porsche was rolled down and I went in there and I was a PA girl. Okay.
Okay. First of all, let's just talk about that. That is what to our fans so that they know what this is. A PA is called a production assistant. Now he went from managing people, making all of this money to now he shows up, okay, in his Armani suit with his convertible Porsche, smoking his Newport, and it's like, okay, let's get ready to do this.
Yep. And but the white producers didn't like me at all.
Of course they did,
I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew that I had a taste for talent.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince knew that. So they would fire me and Prince would keep me on. Are you with me? So I would go. It was so much fun. And so much so that Warner Brothers, after it was over with, Warner's offered me a position as head of minority talent, which meant that I was sort of casting for looking for talent. Looking for Black talent, but like it was pre Spike Lee and it was post the Black exploitation era. Mm. So there was really I was seeing Morgan Freeman and Gospel at Colonus in New York. I was seeing a bunch of theater.
Yes.
But I wasn't able to hire any Black actors because wasn't no Black jobs at all.
Right.
With Black directors or anything. And so I quit that and I started managing actors. I managed Paula Kelly. I managed a whole bunch of really wonderful Black actors at the time while I was directing theater too. And I started directing theater on Melrose and Santa Monica and those little tiny holes in the wall.
Exactly, yes.
With Cuba Gooding Jr. was in one of them early on and everything. And
now what was you were managed the talent, that company was named?
I managed actors.
And you called it Lee Daniels Entertainment?
No, Lee Daniels Management.
Lee Daniels Management. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, we were one of two Black managers. There was Dolores Robinson.
Yes, Dolores.
Three, actually. There was Dolores Robinson.
And Benny?
No, Benny wasn't managing.
Oh, Benny wasn't
this was
managing
before.
Then? Okay.
Not then. I was before him. And it was Benny. No, it was Benny. It was Dolores. It was Lawrence Fishburne's manager in New York City. I forget her name. She's fabulous. She is fabulous.
Wow.
And it was myself. And it was before, like, you know, it was early on. And I was still directing theater. And I had a passion for actors. I loved actors. I just loved actors. And so I worked with Candy Alexander. I got a lot
yes.
of people, Charlie Murphy.
Yeah,
I got a lot of people there. First time, you know, SAG cards. Nastasia Kinski, I worked with her mm-hmm. overseas. Anyway, so I worked with a kid named Wes Bentley. I knew that I had to get out of management. I got tired of telling Black actors that there were like this was. You have to understand, there were no Black lawyers on television.
Mm.
There were no Black great Black roles. That's how old I am, Vivica. Okay.
No, but can I ask around like what period was this? 80s, mid 80s?
80s, late
yeah.
80s.
Yeah.
Late 80s, with, early
and, you know,
90s.
And to our fans out there, that was that era when it was like there was only one. You know, like mm-hmm. you guys are so blessed now that you have you know, BET, that we've got, you know, Hulu, that we've got all of these different networks, Fox, where we've got shows starring and
yeah.
created, you know, that was before.
Was just,
they would let one in.
ABC, CBS, NBC, and there just weren't any, there wasn't any room. There wasn't
yes.
any, there wasn't just, there wasn't, what there was none. And if you were that one, you were either a whore, a prostitute, a
yep.
pimp, a drug
yep.
addict, or
yep.
robbing somebody.
Yep.
Or in jail.
All dark.
Or
characters.
A maid.
Yep.
Or a maid. And
yes.
I got tired of telling actors no. And I said, I'm gonna decide to I'm gonna create a space. I'm gonna do it on my own. And so my first movie was Monsters Ball.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and so I was managing Wes Bentley at the time, who was from American Beauty. He was the kid that was holding the camera in American Beauty.
Mm.
And he fell out of the film. And keep in mind, that's how I got into producing, because I was managing the star of the film.
Yes.
And so I was also friends with Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Heath. I said, Heath, my client has fallen out of it. Can you play this role? It was a great role. He killed himself in mm-hmm. the in Montreal. And
you cast Hallie, Billy Bob
Hallie,
Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Bob got the movie greenlit because he was like the name at the time.
Yes.
I had a sense of casting always because I knew instinctively what was going to sell. I knew that Mos Def had an underground following and he was a phenomenal actor. He had an underground following in the streets that was going to be really important. I knew that Puffy was new on the scene. I didn't even know it was Puffy at the time. I didn't know it was Puffy. Not until it was all over with. Because he kept calling me Mr. Daniels throughout the whole process.
I love to hear that.
And now, after it was all over, he said, this is who I really am. At the end, I fell out. Heath Ledger was the kid that was on, he had just popped. He had done, he was on the cover of Vanity Fair. So I said,
yes.
he'll be good.
Yes.
And then Billy Bob Thornton.
And
so,
Hallie
yeah.
then went on
and Hallie.
Went on to win.
Oh my God. And then
best
so, here's the thing. So I knew Hallie and Heath and Mos Def and Puffy, I was sort of working with them as a director would, you know, because that was what I didn't know how to hold a camera. I wanted to direct, but I hadn't gone to school for it. I
yes.
didn't understand that. So that was really my stomping ground for learning the technique of filmmaking. I'd never done it before. I was there from beginning to end. I understood it. I hired an incredible first-time director, Mark Forrester, who had never done anything. And he was just like, he had done a little short movie, but he, I learned so much from him. And that was my first movie. And so who knew that, you know, that she would be the first African-American to win and that I'd be the first sole producer, first black sole black producer of an Academy Award nominated film. Our writers were nominated, and it was pretty exciting. But I thought that was the end. I said, okay, don't get no better. I swear, Viv, I thought this is the end. You're responsible for the first Black woman getting the Oscar. It doesn't get any better than this.
Oh,
it simply doesn't get any better.
It did it. Then you went
on. I did the Woodsman, which is incredible. Yeah. And and then I decided to, I was into drugs. I got into drugs during that time. And so I believed the hype because Woodsman and Monsters Ball was so revered by the critics that I thought that I was fabulous and everything. So I was high.
Your hair was this big and you was high as a mug, right?
Yeah, and I had the hair to prove it. You knew me then.
You know I know. I got our pictures from back to that. That's what I used to always remember about you. Here comes Lee Daniels in here with this fabulous hair. Hey, Lee, come here, girl, with your pretty self. And I just love to see you. You used to scoop me up and take pictures. Do you remember our experience when you showed me Precious in Miami?
I got one better. Wait, hold on. I got one better for you.
Okay.
Do you remember our experience when I showed you Shadow Boxer in Washington, D.C.?
I don't remember that one as much as I remember Precious. But you got me. But Precious, I will never forget that we were there for, was it Black African American Film Festival or something like that? Yeah. And he was like, come on up. I got to show you something. Oh, my God. And I remember seeing, and it was like, I was shocked the performances that you got out of Mariah. I was like, is that Mariah? And you said, child, it took everything to get that one not to wear no makeup. But Monique blew me away. And then Gabby was like so new. And I mean, it was a rough cut that you showed me. But another reason why I'll never forget that, I believe that we were there. And wasn't that when Michael Jackson died?
Yeah.
And I remember that I was there and I was having the most amazing time. And that like pumped the brakes for me. Like I was like, and I was so traumatized by that. But then, you know, later, you know, to see how great the film, you know, went on to do for you and for everyone. I was like, look at Lee, you know, and it's like me and you just always had that bond. But now we're going to take people a little bit forward to then show that then here we go to Empire.
Well, wait, even after Precious, I did a film called The Paperboy.
Okay, tell us about that.
It was one of my favorite movies. It was Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron and Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh, that's a great cast.
Yeah, and it was really exciting. Pedro Almodovar was going to do it, but he backed out for whatever reason, and I stepped in, and I wanted to do Selma. And I was trying to get Selma off the ground. But when I started investigating everything that that Martin Luther King was involved with, I remember talking to Oprah and saying, you know, should I do this movie, my version of the film? Because my version of the film was the true Martin Luther King.
Yes.
We saw him. We saw him as the human that he was. And that inspired me because I was like, oh my God, with all the flaws, it will be inspirational that, you know, we identify with flawed people because flawed people are heroes. Hmm. But, you know, Oprah said, you can't do that. And that was
that. You know, she wouldn't go ahead. Oh, absolutely not.
And then Ava did it. And, and then I did The Butler.
I'm telling you, What's my man? How did it just leave me?
Who?
The lead actor. No, the lead actor that just... Forrest.
Ooh, baby! Girl.
That performance. That performance. I mean, Lee, to me, I was like, Lee Daniels is a bad dude because you get performances out of people.
I thought Oprah was really good in it, too.
Yes, everyone was.
I don't think we've seen Oprah like that.
Yes.
Yeah, Terrence. But I was still broke. After all of that, I was broke. I was like, you know what? I got two kids going to college soon.
How could you have possibly been broke after that?
Because because wait, because
monsters ball, shadow boxer, the
right.
woodsman.
Because the studios were stealing my money, Vivica.
They were stealing my money.
I didn't know. And, okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. What I have learned at the time, Danny Strong came to me with this idea, because, you know, he wrote The Butler.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay,
yes. Dan. So he said, Lee, I have another film idea and it's called Empire. But Whitney Cummings had already told me that the next thing you do, because I told her, I said, I don't got no money for my kids to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, then you need to do television, because Lee, I got a check for $750,000 in the mail. And I thought it was like a one-time thing. That thing kept coming. That was a residual.
Yes.
You need to create your own show. I said, say no more. So when Danny, came to me, and Danny was like, you know, we want to do this as a movie. I go, no, we'll do it. We're doing it as
a
television
show. Yeah.
And there you are. I mean, I had no idea how television worked. But you don't understand. Ooh. Not only had I not, all of my work is independent cinema. Like I had never worked for a studio ever. I had Final Cut. I was responsible for the money coming in, as we have publicly lived with Damon Dash.
Yes.
and wait a minute. And he was on the light side. There had been like dark money, because Hollywood wasn't fucking with me.
Word.
They weren't giving me any money. You know what I mean? So I had to.
But can I tell you this, places. Lee? You handled that so graciously. That could.
Well, it was the truth. Well, here's the thing.
I know, but I loved the whole, when I saw the confrontation, that you took that as a man and was like, I got you.
No, and let me tell you why, because this is really important, because I have to realize that Damon, Monsters Ball, there was drug money involved with Monsters Ball. You know what I mean? Like, nobody was fucking with me. There was no studio. Nobody wanted to see that movie. Mm-hmm. Studios never wanted to see my version of what Black life is.
Exactly.
You
so
know?
You had to go to the streets.
And I did go to the streets. And so, though Damon, on paper, I didn't owe him any money because, you know,
right.
I
it
didn't.
Is what it
and,
is. Yeah.
But the lawyers, as you become famous, you know, the white world, my white agents and the white lawyers say, you don't owe him any money. In my heart, I did it. I knew that I gave him my word that I was going to pay him back.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Hollywood was saying no.
Yeah, you're done. Trust me.
And so, I didn't make no money. So why do I didn't make no money. So why
Great.
Should you make money?
And let me just tell these people out here, our fans too, you know, that, you know, sometimes they got creative bookkeeping and they'll tell us a film made this, this, that, and the third, but then they'll hit you with these expenses that you we still ain't broke even.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so all I have to say is that, I love him for giving me the money. And so I had to honor that. You know, it took me a minute. It was a really humbling moment in my life.
Yes.
And anyway, so that was that.
But you could have been stank about it, and I'm glad you weren't.
I could have been stank.
You could have been stank. Because you know I know you. You know I know you, champ. And baby, that's, let me tell y'all something. That's one cuss out you don't want to get is from Lee Daniels.
I know.
Don't let that smooth taste fool you. That's all I'm going to say.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
So let's move forward. Let's talk about you now getting this cast out and showed up. And that was Empire, ma'am.
Empire. Those numbers. Really, we didn't see that coming to America at all.
Oh, I know. No one did. It was like capturing magic in a bottle, which is rare in Hollywood. And especially for African-American, a show that was so raw, glossy. You know, they, like you said, they wanted us to be the gangster, the help, everybody but.
The hoe.
Fabulous. The hoe. Yeah.
The drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was my life story. And and we told it, and it was beautiful. And I loved every moment. I didn't understand. I just thought it was going to be like, I thought I was only responsible for the pilot, right? And they said it got picked up. And I said, what do that mean? They said, you got to keep writing. I said, what?
Yeah.
What?
22
of them. I was ready to go back to work. I was like,
22 of them. 22 or 26.
Whatever. I know is that I was ready to go back to film. You know, I was like, I'm not ready for this. A bunch of suits all over me telling me I never had some. And, but it enables me, that has enabled me to do I'm able to do what speaks to my heart as a filmmaker, you know, and mm-hmm. also to give other, because of the success of, I keep forgetting that without Empire, all of this would not be possible.
Absolutely.
Like that was the beginning. What we lived, Vivica, that was crazy what we lived.
Yes.
That was crazy.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Because
I mean,
it was before Blackish, Insecure. Yes. All of that, it was like, you know, and then it all sort of, it's crazy. It was
so
crazy.
Now I got to share with everybody how I ended up on Empire, which was like amazing. We're going to tell the story real quick because we got to get to some other stuff that's going on with you before our time is up. But y'all, the reason why I became Candace on Empire was because of me trying to let everybody know about me as a businesswoman on Celebrity Apprentice, which is 5 weeks of my life I ain't gonna never get back. But let me tell y'all, that shit paid off because, honey, that epic boardroom showdown came down with me and Kenya Moore. This one here, I was at my party, called me. He was like, bitch, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Oh my goodness, I love you. I'm so proud of you. Child, I need to figure it out. You were sitting at home and you were like, whoa.
It really was. It was, isn't it funny how things happen? I go, oh my God. And in that moment, I knew that we were going to be doing something.
So he gave me a call and I will let you know that this is a man of his word. And he said, Vivica, I got to figure out some kind of way how to get you on Empire. I said, please do. He kept his word because a lot of times you get that, you know, when things are hot and things are happening and everybody's talking about things, everybody wants a little piece. But he gave me a call like about 3 months later. And he said, hey, girl, we think about playing Cookie's older sister. I said, child, I'll play whatever, because the show was just so hot. And that then led, for me, 5 seasons on Empire.
Oh, my God. And can I tell you something? Like, it was an honor to work with you. I just think that, you know, you've never been given your roses the way you should have been given your roses, Vivica. I think you're one of the most brilliant. I mean, you know, you don't play around. You're serious. And guess what? You're old school, like you're old school good, like the old school good, like that I could like understands my type of direction.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
and you
these
gave
kids
me
today,
one direction. You gave me one direction. I got to share this real quick with everybody.
What happened?
He gave me a call one day and we had just started. I just started showing and he said, hey, let me holler at you for a minute. I said, what's up? Don't try to be Cooking. I need you to be Candace. Don't try to be. And I'm going to tell your ass just that. And you better take that note. And I got it. It's like, let her character be Cookie. Find nuances for Candace. And I did. You know, that I was.
Oh, my God. Sister. Because you took it to another level. Yeah. Oh, you took it. I didn't have to tell you once, but once. Because you took that shit and then whoop. You and Tasha and her.
Yes.
What I really wanted for the spinoff to be was the three of you all and the complications of what Black women what life is like for Black women your age.
Absolutely.
Today, you know what I mean? Yes. Like all of the pain and the fun and the happy and the everything.
Yes.
The dating. I wanted all of that for, but they didn't know what they were doing. They canceled that shit and that, you know.
That was their loss. But I think what we should do is then maybe we can figure out a film.
We are. The three of us for sure. Okay. Yes, okay. We are. Right. For sure.
Right.
For sure.
All right. All right. So that's Empire, y'all. And who knows? Stay tuned. Some more might happen. Okay. But with the sisters. Now, you got this new show.
I did Star after Empire.
Oh yes, no, I know Star. I didn't like how they did y'all. They kind of that was.
I was really upset about
that.
I mean,
you know why? They didn't want to give you too much power on TV.
That's what my mother said.
See, me and your mama know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's for the white boy.
Mm-hmm. You know?
It's for the white boy because what we did with Empire and also, but that's okay because I had a whole bunch of new shows. I have Our Kind of People.
Yes.
Which is on.
Oh yeah. Yes, oh, I love
Yaya,
right?
Yaya, my beautiful Yaya. Yaya is so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And, I mean, everybody, Lance is on there. Oh my God, Joe Martin's on there.
The list is great actors.
I'm really excited about, and Wonder Years. I'm really excited about.
Let's talk about Wonder Years, which is basically the black version of the show that was on. It's like they always love to tell white people about their lovely stories. We didn't have no stories growing up, you know.
Yeah,
we do.
I'm excited because you know what it is, Viv. You know, there are a lot of not all of us were dirt poor. A lot of us were black middle class, and I think that speaks to a time in America where I can see my family reflected for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of us came from the projects. You know,
word.
And so
I live down the street from the projects.
Me too.
Called middle class, Sean. FYI, okay? If you live down the street from the projects, that made you middle class.
For sure. For sure. And I'm doing Miss Pat, which is really exciting. A comedy.
Tell me about Miss Pat, because I saw some clips and I was woo!
Girl.
Where that language come from?
You gotta listen. Viv, you got to get her on BET Plus. For those of you that don't have BET Plus, just go and see it. It's brilliant. She's brilliant. And she was a crack dealer that turned her life around and became a stand-up comic. So it's like a black version of Roseanne.
Oh, I love that's what I saw. That's a perfect description. Because that one child tried to come in there and talk to her certain kind of way. And you know, now these kids are like, I call a child protective service. Get your ass out the fuck. I wish the hell you would.
Yeah.
So I good. Love it.
Ben,
I love
you
it.
Would love it. You must see it. You have to see it. And so I'm doing that. And it's written, by the way, by, did you ever come see, I'm doing a play on Broadway. What's the name of the play again? Ain't No Mo. I'm so embarrassed.
Ain't No Mo. I love it.
You ever see it?
No,
Jordan Cooper, I'm getting old. I had to ask my assistant.
That's all right.
Jordan Cooper wrote Ain't No Mo. And he also, it's a brilliant play that we're taking to Broadway. It's the first time that I've done theater in many years.
Were you happy to be back?
It's nice to be on Broadway. Are you kidding?
Yes, I love it.
And I think it will do for Broadway what Empire did for television, in as much as like shifting the conversation. And I think that, you know, as African-Americans, we don't really spend money in theater. You know, we'd rather spend, you know, $300 on a pair of Jordans, you know?
Okay.
And I think that this speaks to us because there's nothing on Broadway that speaks to us really, you know, as a culture. So I'm excited for it. And I'm excited. Anyway, he wrote, Ain't No Mo, the guy that wrote Ain't No Mo also wrote Miss Pat.
Wow. Now, could you let us know? Because like I said, I got about 5 minutes left with you and I don't want to miss out on things. What's next for Lee Daniels?
I'm doing a horror movie. listen, half of my shit don't seem like horror, but it's a true story. I've been toying with this for forever. And I finally got up the nerves, the balls, the gonads to do it. It is a true story about a woman that they thought was beating her children. And so the kids come to school with bruises on them and black eyes. And so the social services come, the police come, the principal comes, teacher comes to the house, take the kids. And when they get there, the little girl's walking backwards up the stairs.
Oh shit, the exorcist is coming. Oh Lord Jesus, exorcist.
But this is all true, Vivica. And that's why I'm a little nervous about doing it, because it's so grounded in truth that it is the black exorcist. And what happens is that this woman, Latoya Amons is her name. Latoya was fighting social services for her kids back and the demon that was in her house.
Woo. Done possessing folks. Okay.
Yeah. And Andra is playing Andra Day, who did Billie Holiday for me.
Oh, wait. Okay. I got just real quick. Child. Let me tell you something. I done watched that movie on the plane about 10 times.
Really?
Billie Holiday. Oh,
wow.
Oh.
I wanted her to win an Oscar so bad. I was so damn mad. I ain't gonna even lie. I was like, look at them over there being gracious, but I was mad as hell. That what you did with that, Lee Daniels, the beauty of things that I didn't even know that scared me, that what strange fruit, that I never knew that mm-hmm. song, that's what it meant, that you educated us on how they used to have lynching as just like, you know, entertainment on the weekend mm-hmm. and how this woman who was entertaining them, that the only way they could bring her down was a drug addict. As a drug addict, the heroin, and then how you showed out the heroin, like you didn't sugarcoat that at all. I mean, you showed people shooting up, licking. I was like, and every time I watched it, I found something new. But I want to say thank you for my beautiful little box that they sent me when you hit me and said, what's your address? And I got my boxes in my front room with the microphone and everything. You're just a class act, man. You are.
Oh, thank
and
you,
and she, I know you brought a performance out there that she probably didn't even know that she had in her. And the men, oh my God, the men.
One day, just one, Gervonta, all of them were fantastic. It was God working through all of us. It was the most exciting journey that I've been on, spiritually and also as an artist. So,
wow. Kudos to you. How has your instincts made you the man that you are today?
That's a good question.
Yes.
The instincts.
Yes.
My instincts have known to literally dodge bullets when I was a kid, because I've had friends, not one, but a couple friends as a young kid die, get shot, you know. My instincts knew, I don't know how I didn't catch AIDS, you know, when I was running around on drugs at the time, you know, having sex with everybody, that I didn't catch HIV, you know, my instincts, it's an instinct I listen to. When you don't listen to God and God is in you, when you don't listen to that voice,
yeah, you know.
So I listen to that inner voice, you know, and that inner voice has never led me wrong. And when I don't listen to it, shit happens.
I agree.
So my instinct is always to know that the gift is not mine, Vivica. The gift is not ours. The gift is the next generation of artists, of actors and directors and writers, that we pass it on, that we don't hold on to it, that we give it all. We teach everything we have to our next generation.
Do you know that Pam Grier challenged me to do that too. I interviewed her and she was so gracious. And I said, thank you so much. She says, it's what I'm supposed to do, Vivica. And I challenge you to always do it as well. So that leads us perfectly into today's hustle hack. Today's hustle hack is hashtag trust your instincts, like my boy Lee has done. You know, Lee has created his own success. The impossible can happen, darlings. You too can be the one that's large and in charge. You can learn to trust your instincts and rise above any circumstances and build your own empire. It's never too late. Trust you, and more importantly, trust God. I want to thank Academy Award nominated, all that, producer, director, screenwriter, my man, my friend, my heart, Mr. Lee Daniels. Tell folks where they can find you at on social media.
Oh, it used to be the original Big Daddy, but it's not. Remember? My publicist said, get rid of that one. It's Lee Daniels. It's Lee Daniels, right? Lee Daniels on Lee Daniels.
Okay. And I'm Lee sure Daniels you're verified.
Yes. On Instagram. Yeah. Lee Daniels on Instagram.
Okay. What about, are you on Twitter or do you have time?
Yeah. My people are on Twitter. I'm not.
Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. People ask me all the time some days, because, you know, I will come and get folks on Twitter. Is that really you? And I'm like, some days it is. So I get that. But I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
I love you, Vivica.
I love you back so much. And I'm so proud of you. Darlings, you can find me at Miss V Fox on Instagram. And I'm so sorry I'm breaking up over here.
I love you. You know why, Viv? You know why? Because we've grown together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know how much I love you.
But I gotta wrap this up, though.
Yeah, wrap it up.
You gotta go, and I do too. Okay. Darlings, you can find me at Miss V Fox on Instagram, at Miss Vivica Fox on Twitter, and follow at Stage 29 Podcast too.
Darlings, don't forget to subscribe, follow, download, and review Hustlin' with Vivica A. Fox and listen wherever you like. Until next time, darlings, bye for now.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Laferne Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kelts is the social media producer. And a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horenigay, William Cusack, Lisa Clark, Katie Brown, and Morgan Kaler.
The Hustling with Vivica A. Fox podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during the podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professional.